Attention passengers, we've now reached our destination.
This is Across the Pond.
Hi, I'm Sophia, and you're listening to Across the Pond, Porträts einer Partnerstadt, a podcast by the German-American Institute Tübingen. Our goal for this podcast is to present many unique stories from people living in Ann Arbor to show how they make the city a more diverse place and to show Germans what everyday life in the US can look like. Today, I'll be interviewing Nancy Shaw, who is a children's author. She started her career with a picture book titled Sheep in a Jeep, which was followed by more sheep stories as well as Raccoon Tune and Eleanor's story. Hi, Nancy. It's so nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Awesome. I always like to start with a short but maybe a bit complicated question because people have to think a bit about it. So here's the question. Who are you, Nancy?
I am a longtime Ann Arbor resident, and I'm a children's author, and I'm also a person who's very interested in current affairs.
Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate on that? What do you mean with the last part?
I mean that I'm always reading the news, and it's very important to me how our country is doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think? How is your country handling the current situation relating to the pandemic, to COVID-19?
It has very recently become much better organized with a change of administrations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe coming a bit more to you as a person, how are you coping with the current situation?
Well, with COVID, there's always kind of a background level of vigilance. There are things that we can't do now, and it's not nice that, you know, we can't have people over for tea at our house. Things like I used to go to the YMCA and work out 3 days a week, and I don't do that anymore. We have a wonderful library, and you can't just go in and browse anymore. You have to get your books by appointment. But we're doing pretty well considering, and also the city as a whole is behaving well. We have masks and distancing, and most people respect that.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Since you've already mentioned the city and the people there, how would you describe Ann Arbor in maybe three words?
The right size or a university city. And I like the fact that there are always things going on. There are always talks to go to, concerts to go to. I really like my group of friends here, and that includes a lot of writers, a lot of children's writers. And it's been a great benefit to have these people to talk to, both career-wise and just because they're a kind of people whose company I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have a favorite place or a favorite spot in Ann Arbor?
I would have to say the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I'm really into fresh food, and also a lot of people I know go there, so it's fun to meet up with people and just have conversations while you're shopping.
Yeah, that sounds nice. How would you describe the people living in Ann Arbor?
Well, I love the diversity. I love the fact that people come here from all over the world. You get all kinds of different backgrounds. And then just in my neighborhood, people just seem compatible. I enjoy conversations with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you always lived in Ann Arbor?
No, I was born in Pennsylvania, and I grew up in a smaller town in Michigan called Midland, and I came here to go to the University of Michigan, and then I left for graduate school, and then I came back. and I've been in this area ever since.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe going towards your work, did you always want to become an author?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a dancer, and then I wanted to be an artist. There's a big graphic arts strain in my family. My grandfather was an art director and a printmaker and a painter, and my brother is an artist. But by around high school, I noticed that I was really interested in language, and I became interested in wanting to get published. And I started doing that when I was just out of high school, but not regularly. And then my first children's book was published many years after that. So it took me a while to realize that that was my calling in life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Where do you usually work at? Are you at home? Do you have an office space?
Yeah, we have an office. We keep our computers here, and it's a nice room full of books. And the nice thing about being being a fiction writer is you can pretty much do it any place you want. I love working in the living room when I'm getting started on a story. If it's winter and there's sun coming in. But Sheep and a Jeep got started in the back seat of our car because we were taking our kids down to Ohio for a birthday party. And we knew that we were going to get bored on the way. So my husband was driving and I was in the back seat with the kids. And we had just been reading this book full of rhymes. It's called The Hunting We Will Go. And it's got rhymes like, we'll catch a fox and put him in a box, and we'll catch a fish and put him in a dish. And then they had some very strange rhymes like, we'll catch a snake and put him in a cake, and we'll catch a bear and put him in underwear. So after we finished all of our books, I was just bored and I was just trying to think of more verses for that. And I thought, we'll catch a sheep and put him in a Jeep, and realized that maybe a sheep should not be driving a Jeep. And it worked from there. So sometimes it's just more about your ability to kind of fish around for ideas. And that can happen sometimes if you're in a car.
Yeah, awesome. You've already answered my next question, so to say, but maybe a follow-up. Why a sheep? Is it just because it rhymed pretty well with Jeep, or do you have a special relation to those animals?
The rhyming is, in fact, a big part of it. The sheep books pretty much start from the sounds of the words and where I can take those. But also, sheep we typically think of as kind of foolish animals, or so they make good stand-ins for toddlers. And in my book, when the sheep gets stuck in the mud and they finally get out, they're celebrating getting out so much that the driver sheep forgets to steer. And even a four-year-old knows, I could do better than that. You know, nobody's going to let them drive the Jeep, but they wouldn't forget to steer. And my kids really love silly books. So it kind of took off from that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Where else do you get the inspiration for your books from?
Sometimes it's things that happen to me. Elena's story came from a trip to Guatemala to visit our daughter. And just thinking about kids whose families had never learned to read. And Elena learns to read, and she's the first one in her family. The Raccoon Tune book got started because raccoons were knocking over our trash cans, and it was exasperating. So that went into a story of looking for food in trash cans and actually getting a better meal by catching fish in the river.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Which of your books are you particularly proud of, and why?
Well, I'm proud of Sheep and a Jeep being a good way for kids to tune into language. It's been used for reading instructions. The most fun I've had writing a sheep book was A Sheep Out to Eat, just thinking of what sheep would do in a restaurant. But I'm very proud of Raccoon Toon. I love the way the pictures go together with the story. And also the Ann Arbor Symphony was looking for new material for children's concerts. And they commissioned a symphonic piece based on Raccoon Toon. And one of the things when you're a children's or when you're a picture book author is you get to see how the illustrator's imagination complements your own, what it adds to the story. If you look through Margot's books, you'll see all of these things that she has happening with the sheep. She has her own character, the bird, who shows up in these stories. And for Raccoon Toon, it was not only that Howard Fine, the illustrator, was adding some wonderful components to it, but then the composer did as well. And to have that performed, that was a really wonderful experience for me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Maybe a personal question, because I don't really know how you go about writing a book, especially a picture book. How do you find the right people to draw pictures for you that fit your idea of the story?
Well, in most cases, if you are just the author of the text, you don't get to dictate that. There are a few pairs of authors and illustrators who've sort of chosen themselves, and they're very successful. But in most cases, the publisher will do it. And I've just been very lucky that the publishers have chosen the exact right person. I can't imagine anybody better than Margot Apple to do these sheep books.
Okay, thank you for answering that. What project are you currently working on?
Well, along with a lot of other writers, I'm finding that the pandemic has just sort of disturbed my concentration, and I don't have an active project in writing right now. The group of people who get together, we've been doing this for years and years, authors and illustrators, and discussing our work and how to improve our stories. Now we're having a Zoom meeting a couple of times a month and just trying a writing prompt. And that's been really fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you consider yourself a bookworm?
Oh, absolutely. I've been a bookworm since first grade, maybe before that.
Okay. Do you think one needs to be a bookworm in order to write good stories?
I guess maybe not an obsessive bookworm, but in order to make stories that people want to read, it helps to absorb, maybe on an unconscious level, how stories work, and to just immerse yourself in stories.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And have you ever thought about writing different books than children books?
I have written some nonfiction pieces, you know, feature writing, and I used to work on some short factual radio programs, but what I seem to be good at is writing for preschoolers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What exactly is it that you like about writing children's books?
Oh, I like the variety in children's books. And as I was already saying, I love in picture books how there are two parts to the story. And I'm a very visual person. I have strong reactions to the artwork. And so that's important to me.
Mm-hmm. What kind of genre or what kind of books do you read in your free time?
I read all kinds, but the kind that I mostly read just for relaxation is mysteries, and not just any mysteries. I don't like gory mysteries or action thrillers, but I like the sense of character and the sense of solving a puzzle. And mostly in mysteries, there is a justice that is achieved at the end of the book. And sometimes it feels like we're not getting justice in everyday life. So it's, in a sense, therapeutic to read a kind of fiction where it happens.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not reading a book, what else do you do in your free time?
In my free time, well, as I said, I read the news a lot. I listen to music. I enjoy crossword puzzles. And I like getting outdoors. I like walking. And I like cooking.
Mm-hmm. And when you're out walking, where do you usually go? Do you have a favorite route? Or where do you go to in Ann Arbor?
Mostly around the neighborhood. And early in the pandemic, it was very, very quiet. I was crossing our busy street, that's the south edge of our neighborhood, and just exploring neighborhoods I hadn't paid any attention to.
Mm-hmm. Maybe moving into another area that I'm interested in. Have you ever been to Germany?
Yes, I've had 3 trips to Germany. And one was when I was 18 years old. My grandparents took me. And then I've come twice as an adult. So my father's family was all German, coming to this country before our Civil War. And my grandmother was very interested in her grandmother. And she had gone back to that town and made friends with a middle school teacher who taught English. And the middle school teacher was very interested in getting pen pals for her students. And I was one of them. So at age 13, I started writing to this girl, and we're still friends.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I've been back to my great-great-grandmother's hometown 3 times.
Mm-hmm. And where is that?
It's called Schlucktown. It's in Hessen, and it's near Steinau and near Fulda.
Okay. And I assume that you have never been in Tübingen before?
That's right.
Okay. Have you heard about your sister city?
Yes. And I've seen beautiful pictures of it. I once went to a program that I think it was your mayor was giving at our library about what Tübingen does for being a green city, how your public transportation is very frequent and active. And am I remembering rightly that you have your own power plant?
That is a good question.
Okay. but anyway, it sounded like Tübingen was doing some truly wonderful things to cope with energy and global warming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what I can tell you is that Tübingen is a very green city, I assume, similar to Ann Arbor. We're always trying to go to work or go grocery shopping by bike. So in Tübingen, we usually try to avoid driving by car. And we also, I guess almost everyone just loves to take strolls through the city as well as the surrounding area. We do have a lot of nice places that you can visit. And me personally, I like to go to the Kloster Bebenhausen. It's an old monastery and it's just so beautiful. It's, I think, almost an hour walk to Bebenhausen, but if you're there, it just feels like you're 500 years in the past, and it's just so lovely. Do you have similar places to that in Ann Arbor? A bit of history, maybe?
We have a botanical garden. Our architectural history is much shorter than yours, and I just love being in a German town square. I can picture the one in Marburg, for instance, and I've been to Nuremberg a couple of times. I love looking at German buildings. We do have historic buildings here, and there are many nice places to visit, but I really would like to get back to traveling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who isn't at the moment? Yeah. Okay. Since you've already been to Germany and have met German people, did you notice a difference between the culture between the USA and Germany?
Oh, certainly. we have this family that we're friendly with who now live in Marburg. I find them very interesting, thoughtful people to talk to. And we have sort of similar families. They have their first two grandchildren. We both had our first grandchild at about the same time. Another place I want to travel, of course, is to see my granddaughter.
Yeah, okay. Maybe talking a bit about the difference in people. I'm pretty sure that you know about the stereotypes that many people have concerning US American people. But maybe let's focus on the other side first. What do you think of when you hear stereotypes related to Germany?
This question is, of course, colored by World War II. And I admire how Germany has come out of that, walking around Köln and seeing the nameplates in the sidewalks, memorializing the Jews who were taken from there. I admire Angela Merkel. I admire the fact that democracy seems to be working rather well. And Germany, of course, has its variety of people. We have we have some very disparate attitudes in our country. And I think that we are being hurt now by the fact that people can choose their own information. So we're becoming more tribal. Some people choose a particular TV network to listen to, where facts are marshaled in a different way. We have Facebook, and you tend to gather around people who think the same way you do in Facebook, and then Facebook feeds you bits for your attention that seem to fit with you. And the two parts of the country are not talking to each other as much. I think that's a big problem, and it's going to be very hard to solve for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what you're describing is quite universal these days. In the US as well as in Germany, we do have those two parties. And especially during Corona and during the pandemic, I think that things got even worse. Would you agree?
I would. And we have people who have been conditioned not to believe in masks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Why do that?
Yeah, I cannot answer that question. I don't understand it myself. Yeah. Okay, coming back to maybe the stereotypes a bit. For example, I mean, I'm a bit biased because, of course, I'm a German. But usually when people are describing Germans, they say that we are always working, that we have no humor at all, and that we just love drinking beer. What's your position on that?
Oh, I don't see Germans that way because the Germans I've known haven't acted like that.
Okay. And are you often confronted with the stereotype of a gun-wielding, fast-food-eating freedom lover?
Where I live, we are not personally confronted with that. We are familiar with that from the news. And I find the gun culture to be something that is going to be very, very hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Do you yourself own a gun?
No, I wouldn't dream of it. My father used to go deer hunting when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my host parents who live in Pennsylvania also have a lot of guns, but actually just use them for hunting. So, yeah. And since you've mentioned that were you born in Pennsylvania?
Yes, in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, okay. My host family lives in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania, which is a small, small town located in the east of Pennsylvania. And I think that was also very nice and interesting time for me visiting them. And yeah, since I've talked to so many people living in Ann Arbor, I think that might be one of my next destinations if travel is allowed again after the pandemic. If I was to visit Ann Arbor, what would you advise me to do, or where would you tell me to go?
Well, I would tell you to go to one of our wonderful museums. We have a natural history museum. The university has that, and an art museum. For small children, there's a hands-on museum. Our kids used to love that. And they love the natural history museum, and we always called it the dinosaur museum. Browse in one of our wonderful bookstores, if they are good for browsing at the time that you get here. And I would send you to the Arboretum and the university's botanical gardens. There's a wonderful trail there. There's a greenhouse full of exotic plants. Those are favorite places to go. And the farmer's market.
Yes, awesome. Thanks. What's a typical dish from the Ann Arbor region?
I think people from outside Ann Arbor would think of going to Zingerman's Deli for a huge sandwich. Or some people would think of pizza. At my house, the main dish is usually stir fry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's okay with you to be this personal, do you have any special family rituals? For example, for Christmas, Thanksgiving, or other special holidays?
Mostly it is getting together with extended family for a big meal. My sister's family lives about 40 minutes from here. And I'm always the pie maker. Mm-hmm. But for the past year, it's been Zoom holidays.
Yes, of course. What's your favorite pie to make?
Apple.
Mm-hmm. Classic. Okay.
With Michigan apples, of course.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Oh, just Michigan apples are extra good.
Okay. Do you have anything that you'd like to know from or about me? Is there anything that you'd like to know about Tübingen, about the two sister cities, how they're interacting, or just anything else? Just ask me.
Have you been to Ann Arbor yourself?
I have not, unfortunately, but as I said, that's definitely on my bucket list now.
Oh, good.
And I think the more I talk to people from Ann Arbor, the lovelier it sounds. And in my head, I already imagined a list of all the nice places that I want to visit.
Well, you can stop by my house when you come.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
And I think university cities have a rapport with one another. They all tend to attract open-minded people, and that's important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I think I have everything I need. So thank you, Nancy, for this interesting interview today and for telling us your story.
Well, good talking to you.
And thank you for listening to Across the Pond. You'll hear more from me and Ann Arbor in our next episode. Goodbye.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Across the Pond is produced by the German-American Institute Tübingen. If you want to know more about who we are and what we do, you can find all information in the description.